heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the people of God. God, I understand that many of them that are here have faced some insurmountable challenges, but they are so tough. They are so dedicated and determined. And because of that, God, I want you to not just feed them, I want you to bless them. I want you to give them something that they didn't have when they first got here and grow them in a way that makes the devil even more mad because he cannot take them out. And we thank you for it. Now, God, I thank you revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, unchecked by any satanic or demonic forces. I thank you that the people will be blessed eternally so, as well as naturally so, first natural, then spiritual. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. With your Bibles in your hands, repeat after me, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple,
where we love
by living our vision every day.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Let me pause and say this. If we do 1, 2, 3 of the vision and don't do 4, it is worthless. Because at the end of the day, we have to communicate Christ's love. But having said that, finally, Father God,
feed me your word.
Now, once again, if you believe you'll be fed, make some noise again. Today's topic and title is in the form of a graphic, and I'll have them bring the graphic up. And here is the graphic, Finding Freedom. There's a man, and it's a little difficult to see. Those at home would see it better. But there's some chains on the bottom of the figure's feet, and it looks like they're broken free, and they're coming out of that space they're in, and then I have the Deliverance Temple logo, because we are Deliverance Temple, which means we are going to need deliverance, but also means that at some point we are going to find deliverance. And so we want to talk about finding freedom or finding deliverance. Let's give us a definition of freedom using just three different definitions, and all of them will help us understand where we're headed. So number one says the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. I want to stop and pause just a second there. It talks about acting, speaking, thinking as you want without hindrance or restraint. You only understand the power of this if you've been bound. Because when you're bound, you don't do what you want to do. You may want to do something, but you have hindrance and restraint. Anyone who's been bound with an addiction, many times they said, I'm not going to do it today, and you still do it that day. Or if you're bound with depression, you don't want to be sad, but the sadness comes anyway. If you're bound with grief, you don't want to grieve, but the grief has a way of toying with you anyhow. And so understanding that freedom is a journey and freedom is a process. And the first thing you need to understand, it is not a sin to be bound. It is not a sin to be hindered. Actually, sometimes it means you're going in the right direction when hindrance shows up, because the devil is afraid of what you will be, so he throws resistance. So don't be sad because of the resistance. Just understand you want to get beyond that. And many of us, we truly want to be on the other side of whatever we're dealing with. All right, let's give us point number two of freedom, or the second definition,
The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. In other words, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be in this. I want to be out of it. And really, that's the first step to finding freedom. You have to have a quality decision that I don't want to be like this. Because bondage, the way bondage works, you begin to start figuring out a way how to be comfortable in the bondage. If I'm in physical jail and I'm not going to get out, the first thing I want is put some money on my books so I can be more comfortable in what I'm in. Well, when it comes to spiritual bondage, sometimes we get lulled into the idea, this ain't never going to change, so I'm going to start making myself comfortable in it. But there is something on the inside of you that ought to be uncomfortable with bondage. You ought to be irritated with bondage. You may not be able to change it right away, but something in you. And that's why our second point of our vision statement is we confess our deliverance consistently. I may be hurting today, but I won't be hurting forever. So don't treat me based on where I currently am, because I'm not staying here forever. I'm confessing my deliverance. I may be 99 when I break free, but I'm going to break free some way, somehow. There's something on the inside of me that says it can't be like this forever. I can't cry forever. I can't be depressed forever. I'm still going to be pushing because I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. Now, this can be very challenging because what you know doesn't always line up with what you see. But that's what requires faith, all right? Here is the third definition. This is what we're trying to get to. Unrestricted use of something. In other words, I want freedom, no restrictions. I'm tired of every time I lift my hands, I'm worried about who's watching me, who's looking at me. But I'm ready to get radical and unrestricted. If you don't like my praise, I'm sorry for you. If I'm too loud for you, I'm sorry for you. If I'm crying too much in worship, I'm sorry for you. Because this ain't for you, this is for me. Every now and then, I got to get selfish. I'm getting what belongs to me. And what happens is it makes you and it turns you into a fighter. It's what I call bulldog tenacity, where you lock onto something and I'm not letting go. My little dog is a little as he is. He loves tug of war. And when you do it with him, even though he's nice and cute, he goes, because he says, I want you to know I'm holding on to this. Well, I may not be blessed yet, but I'm locking on to the possibility. Oh, it'll never work for you. You're going to die in this. You're going to fold. I'm not letting go. Jacob, as crazy as he was, he said, God, I'm not letting go till you bless me. I'm holding on. I'm willing to wrestle till you bless me. And there are some things that you just got to wrestle for. You got to pull them out of the atmosphere and pull them into your life. You might be the only person in your family to go to school, but go to school anyway. You might be the only one in your family to get a mortgage, but fight for it anyway. Work on your credit anyway. Be like a bulldog. I'm not letting go because there are some things I don't want to wait to heaven to get them. Well, you're going to be happy in heaven. I don't want to wait to heaven to be happy. I want some happiness now. So I'm fighting for it. All right, and so let's put this up. Six places to find freedom. Let me pause and give you a little context. And I say this all the time, but I want to give you a little more. I say that when I tell you there's six things, there's always more than what I tell you. And you'll probably have to look on your own. And so let me give you some more, actually, preacher talk that will help you understand why sometimes when I do it like this, I can't give you everything and you'll need to do more. So there's two major ways to preach. One is called exposition or expository preaching. And expository or exposition preaching is when you take a narrative or a story and everything you get out of it is from that particular story or that narrative or that chapter. Then there is what you call topical preaching, is what I'm doing now, and I've done for the last couple sermons. I actually do more topical preaching, but topical preaching is a little difficult because it can make both the preacher lazy as well as the listener. And here's the reason, because on topical preaching, you grab a topic and you grab scriptures that correspond with the topic. But the problem with preaching that way, you can easily take things out of context. And so many times I'm grabbing because I'm looking for a word. So when we're talking about freedom, I'm looking for that word freedom. So I'm getting verses that line up with that. But then there are verses ahead of it and there's verses behind it. And I don't have time to give you all the verses. So when I say I don't have time to give you all, it's because I can't preach it all in one setting. That means if you're not going to be a lazy listener, you're going to have to take notes and find out the context of the scripture. I'll give you the background. I'll give you what I can, but I can't give it all to you. So when I say 3 steps, 4 steps, 5 steps, there's multiple steps, and you're going to have to find out some of them steps on your own. So you're going to have to take the time to go beyond that. Now, you can get happy, and that's what happens to many of us as it relates to our freedom. We get happy in the service, but we don't do any extra study beyond that. Somebody says, well, I don't read that well. Well, at least listen to the sermon again. Take some notes. Try to dig into it because there's more than what I'm telling you that you're going to get that's going to help you. So this is another topical message. I'm going to give you what I can, but know in your mind you may need to go beyond this. All right. Let's go to number one, the first place, freedom through relationship. It's the first place we're going to start, freedom through relationship. And when we say that, I'm specifically talking about relationship with God, and I'm talking about personal relationship with God, you and your creator. Let's look at John 8, 35 through 36, New Living Translation. Verse 35 reads what?
A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever.
So in those days, there were servants or slaves who were around the family, but they didn't have the same rights and privileges as the family. So a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So there's a difference between the servant and the son. So now look at what the next verse says.
So if the son sets you free, you are truly free.
King James says you are free indeed. And what it says, so if the son sets you free, what this means is, when you accept the Son of God, when you accept what God sent, he changes you from servant or from creation to being part of the family of God. And now you are one of God's children. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In other words, it belongs to you. Freedom belongs to you. If you were just a servant, you have no right to the freedom. But when you become a son, you do. To give you context to help you understand, if Bill Gates adopts me tomorrow and makes it legal, everything that he has a right to, I have a right to, because he took me from being an acquaintance or someone who doesn't know him, and he made me a son. He brought me into the family. And the Bible says we've been adopted into the family of God. And that's why you can fight for your freedom, because if God's not bound, ultimately, I don't have to be bound either. Because if the Son sets you free, all right? So now look at the next verse. And this is, I'm going to another passage of scripture.
So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
Same thing I'm just telling you now, because you are a son or a daughter, you are an heir. You have a right. And here's the thing. The devil will try to tell you you don't have a right. The devil will try to show you even things in scripture where it talks about how Jesus rode on a donkey. And so, well, you should be poor too. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm supposed to be poor. I have a right to whatever God has a right to. And so press for what the things that God is leading you to. The scripture says it this way. Delight yourself in the Lord, number one, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
In other words, he will give you what to desire. Once you delight in him or have relationship with him, he will start messing with what you desire. And as he shapes your desire, he will give you what you desire, and then you will give him the praise. Let's go on to another verse.
Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God.
In other words, when you didn't know God, you didn't have relationship with him, you weren't connecting with your creator continually, then everything began to dominate you. You were slaves to everything. Some people are a slave to a bad attitude. Some people are a slave to sin. Some people are a slave to making their business their God. They're slave to sex. They're slave to all kinds of things. And if you've ever done any wrong in your life, you know when you've been in bondage to things. And what the scripture says, those things actually became your God. They actually controlled you. I've been controlled by things I didn't want to be controlled by. I've been controlled by alcohol. There were times where I could control the alcohol, and there were other times where the alcohol controlled me. Now, as long as I could control the alcohol, I always thought I was in the driver's seat until the alcohol let me know, I got this one, buddy. I was doing good until I woke up with my head on the toilet. How did I get here? Well, the alcohol let me know you're not in control as you think you are. But the scripture says what happens is those things actually become your gods and your master, but they don't make good masters. So God says, I don't want you to be master. I want to bring you into the family. All right, now let's read the next verse.
But now that you know God, or rather are known by God.
This is beautiful. I like he said, now that you know God. He said, rather is you are known by God. It's not so much that you knew him, is that he first knew you. Another songwriter said, I love him because he first loved me. All right, let's go back to this verse.
How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?
Now, here's the problem that we have in us moving toward our freedom is sometimes we get tempted to go to what we came out of because we can't necessarily see God. We can feel him from time to time, but sometimes it's a little difficult. And so we get temptations or callings from things we know is not going to do us right, but we're comfortable in it. And it becomes a struggle. And guess what? Welcome to the club. It happens to all of us. Even the most Christian person, it happens to all of us. But you do have to remind yourself, if I get out too far, sometimes that stuff will snatch me and I can't get back. So don't play with stuff you come out of, because a lot of times it's worse than it was when you got out of it. The scripture says when a man is cleansed of a demon, that demon goes out and it looks for seven more demons worse than it is, and it'll try to get back in. So if you was crazy before and you got delivered, your next state will be crazier. It's always harder to get out of it. So remind yourself, you're part of the family of God, and when you're tempted to go back, try not to go back. Now, because you're human, you may fall, but if you fall, you should not be comfortable. I don't mind saints who sin because we're human. I mind saints who are comfortable in sin and don't want you to say nothing to them because you are comfortable, and the more comfortable you are, the more you get deceived. And once you get deceived, right looks wrong, and wrong looks right. Some people will leave a church and be saying, I don't like the pastor. He always getting in my business. I'm not getting in your business. I don't know your business. It's the Holy Spirit getting in your business. And if you run from the Holy Spirit, you're running into something that might lock you and hold you and won't let you go. And another problem is it will pass down from your generation into something else. Some people don't know they're wrong until they have children. Yeah. And their children start doing the same thing that they was doing, and then they realize, oh, we got a problem now, because it'll go through the generations. So freedom is vitally important for all of us. All right, let's go to number two. So number one is freedom through relationship. Number two, freedom through truth. Read this, John 8:30.
Then many who heard him say these things believed in him.
That's beautiful. They heard him and they believed him. That's the first step. That's how you get to a relationship. You hear and you believe. Every time you come, you hear something. When you believe, the scripture lets us know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But that is not the only thing. That's only half the battle. That's the start. That's beautiful. All right, here's another example. If you want to travel from Muncie to Indianapolis and you stop in Anderson, you only got halfway. You can't be mad that you're not in Indianapolis if you don't keep moving forward. You can't just get halfway and stop. So hearing and believing is halfway, but let's look at what the next verse says.
Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings."
The King James says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." And so hearing and believing is half the battle. Now you have to continue in it. All right, give you another example. This is something we all understand. So you go to the doctor, you have problems, and your heart's been hurting a little bit, and the doctor says your cholesterol is up. You need to get your cholesterol down, and I need to see you again. And you shake your head. Yeah, you're right. I've been eating too much fried food. You're right. All right, you heard and you believed. But if you don't continue that, if you leave the doctor's office and you get a 10-piece Popeye meal, what the doctor told you, even though you believed it, is not going to help you unless you remain faithful and continue in what you heard. See, a lot of people hear the truth. They just won't continue in the truth. And so the next verse doesn't apply to them, but it should apply to you. What's the next verse said?
And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Have you ever heard people say the truth will set you free? But it's actually the truth you continue in is what will set you free. You only get freedom through the truth that you continue in. So you have to stay in the truth. So guess what? Your process with the truth is a journey. When people are getting delivered from addiction, they usually start with some type of awareness of where they currently are. My name is Andre, and I am an addict. That is the current truth. In order to go out of that or get through the 12 steps, they have to grow from that. They have to continue along the path. So there are a lot of people who come to church year in and year out, and they never get free because they just hear and believe, but they don't put any application to it. So that's why I say, I'm just giving you these topical sermons, but you have to apply them to your life. I'm only giving you the message, but you have to do the rest of it. Back when I was young, there used to be these little things that were in a package, and they would say it grows up to 2 feet or several inches. But what you had to do, you had to take it out the package and put it in water, then it would grow. If you take it out of the package and put it on the desk, you can be like, oh, this thing don't work. This thing ain't no good. It ain't. I've been watching it for 10 years. It ain't never grew. Well, you didn't put it in the water. You have to follow the instruction. Buying it is half the process. Opening it is half the process. Taking out the package is half the process. But if you want to get what it was intended, you have to follow the instruction. And the Bible says we're washed by the water of the word. And so you are going to have to spend time in the word. You're going to have to continue in the word. I cannot preach your deliverance. I got to do it myself. I'm just the messenger. But we all have to follow through. Pastor, I want you to pray for my grill. What's wrong with your grill? Well, I put the charcoal in there and it never got hot. Well, did you light the grill? No. I was waiting for it to, no, it don't, you got to do all the steps for it to work. All right, that gets us all the way to number three. So number one was We get free through relationship with God. Now we get free through truth, the truth we continue in. And here we get freedom through God's Spirit, the Spirit of God. How do we know that? Let's look at a verse here.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Or the other version says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, yeah, we get freedom through the Spirit. That's why it is important to come to the house if you can get in the house. Because even though the online is great, there's a different spirit in the house. Because we draw strength from one another. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom available. Brother Will, I need to withdraw $100 from my bank account. And the bank opens at 9 o'clock in the morning. If I stay in my driveway, it's going to be very hard to get what I need. Even if $100 is there, it's going to be hard to get what I need if I don't go where I need to go. So you need to be where the Spirit is. Now, here's another thing. The Spirit doesn't just function in the church setting. Spirit is everywhere. So sometimes you need to know where you're not where the Spirit is. While we were in Michigan for the Chaplains Conference, there's another man there who pastors Trinity here in Muncie, and his name is Pastor Henry Carter. And so people were talking about some of the tragedies that chaplains and pastors deal with. And he brought up something that I actually had forgotten about. And he told the people, he's like, me and Pastor Andre were called to do a news conference because we had a mass shooting last summer in Muncie. And then he mentioned, he said, but Pastor Andre was there that night. Not that I had forgot about it, I just hadn't thought about it in a while. And so the people looked at me and I told the story. And what I told them is that I went. I wanted to show my faith. I wanted to make sure I'm reaching outside the four walls of the church. But at a certain point, I felt it's time to go. I felt it in my spirit. It's time to go. I talked to who I need to talk, but it was not my atmosphere. I know my atmosphere. I don't mind being down to earth. I don't mind being cool. I don't mind your weed smoking, your alcohol. I'm not that type of Christian where I get irritated, but I know when it's time to go. And I prayed as I left. But when I got home, I seen on Facebook that there was a mass shooting. I'm like, it can't be. I was there 10 minutes ago. I just got home. But because I understand the Spirit, know it's time to go. Now, I didn't even go there unless I went there according to the Spirit. I was actually here at the church. And I just felt like, yeah, go. And I decided to walk there. And I prayed as I walked. But when I left, I walked the opposite way and prayed as well. So I walked down this way and I came back up the other way. I prayed as I went. God had me there for a reason, but I was bothered because I was like, God, I was there and I couldn't stop it. But then the Lord spoke to me. He said, what would have happened had you not prayed? Had you not stepped foot there? Yes, 19 people got shot, but only one passed away. So I was able to make a difference, but I understand where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do what you want to do. You groan. But when you feel like the Spirit is saying go, go. When you feel like the Spirit is saying don't go, don't go. When the Spirit says leave, leave. Last week we talked about the importance of timing. Understand and know the Spirit. You are human beings, but you are also spiritual beings. And God, the Bible says he will not do something in the earth without talking to his friends. And talking to his prophets and talking to the people who have relationship with him. So we get freedom through our relationship with God. We get freedom through truth and we get freedom in the Spirit. Another thing I'll say, I don't mind y'all visiting other churches. You can do what you want to do. But you'll find out some places don't have the Spirit. They got music. They got shouting. They got dancing. They got preaching. But it ain't a whole lot of Spirit. Now, listen to tell you how I am. I done been to enough church. I ain't going to church where ain't no Spirit. Now, if I'm there for the first day and I have to sit through it to be respectful, I ain't coming back. I can waste time somewhere else. I can be eating ice cream if I'm just going to be wasting time. I ain't coming to church to waste time. I want to feel the Spirit of God. I don't want no dead church. I don't want just hear people just get up talking to themselves. And here's the thing. As much as y'all love me, you do not need to hear Andre preach. You need to hear God. So if you come and I'm talking a bunch of Andre, I advise you to get up and walk out and go somewhere where the Spirit is. All right, let's go on to the next one. Another point. Like I said, I'm just hitting them real quick. There's a lot of goodness in here. Number four, freedom through obedience. So we got relationship, we got truth, we got the Spirit. Now we have obedience. Let's look at what Romans 6:18 says.
Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living.
Free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. So the another version says you were obedient to step away from your sin. So does that mean you'll never sin? No, but what it means is that you have the obedience to say, God, if you say it's wrong, I say it's wrong, even if I still struggle with it. Amen. All right, let me talk to single folk. Single folk are human, and so single human folk like sex. Even if you save, don't act like I'm so saved I don't like sex. Unless you 97, maybe you don't like it. But anybody in the younger age, you're just human. But this is what you say. You say, I still like it. I still desire it. But God, I'm trying to do it your way. So I'm lining up to you. I'm being obedient to you. Even if I fall, God says, I got you. Because in your mind, you're saying, God, I want to do it your way. And so when a man take you on a date, you don't invite him to your house day one. Because you trying to be obedient. Let's go to another example. If you struggle with something else that you know hurts you, you try to put safeguards around you. Don't mean you always get it right, because when the flesh wants something, the flesh really wants it. Tell you, like I told you before, one day I felt like I was in the mode of working out. I went to the Y to work out, but once I pulled in the parking lot, I don't feel like doing this. I was getting ready to go out the door. I shut the door and turned around. I was at the North Y and went to the McDonald's over there and got me a hot fudge sundae. That flesh got the best of me. I had made it to the parking lot, but I failed. Not, don't make me a horrible person. It makes me human. But also it reminded me of how weak we really are. So if you want to obey, sometimes you need an accountability partner. You need somebody. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to tell. And the problem is sometimes you tell somebody and they try to tell you how to get away with it. That's the wrong accountability partner. I need somebody that's going to help me obey, because what it's going to do is going to get me to a higher level of freedom. And as long as Hot Foot Sunday can talk to me and change my whole day, I don't have enough freedom in that area. And so we all need freedom in certain areas, because you wouldn't be at Deliverance Temple if you had all the freedom you needed. I'll say it again. You'd be at Perfect Temple if you was perfect. But y'all show up at Deliverance Temple, that means y'all all got some stuff you're dealing with. But the idea to obey is going to get you closer to freedom. I may not be here yet, God, but God, I want it. God, I want it. And really, when you really want it, you start praying prayers like this. God, take it away from me. God, if I can't give it up, take it from me, God. Help me, God. See, when you really are trying to obey, it's not about the church. In other words, I'm not praying so Andre, Pastor Andre will like me. I'm praying so God will be pleased with me. God, help me. God, help me stay together. I'm tired of going off on folk. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of cussing. I'm tired of fighting. God, help me. When you really want it, all I got to do is deliver the message and God will do the rest. And I thank God for some of y'all, because some of y'all have come and talked to me personally about what you're dealing with. And you don't have to tell me, but you're convicted. You're like, I want to do better. I want to be better. And I've seen growth in many of your life simply because you are trying to be obedient. Now, as a parent, you can tell when a child wants to be obedient, and you can tell when a child don't care. You can tell when you got a bad child and you got a child that's trying. You set cookies out there and set both of them down and say, don't touch the cookies. That one will be biting his fingers. He'll be twiddling. He'll be doing everything he can to not grab that cookie. The other one don't care. As soon as you leave, they're going to just grab the cookie and have crumbs all over their mouth. And you ask them, did you take the cookie? Nope. They don't mind lying in your face. That child has some issues. And we got some Christians that have some issues. They don't care. They'll take your husband. They'll take your wife. They'll steal your stuff. I had a Bible stolen from me. They'll steal your Bible. They'll lie on you. They don't care. And you have other people, they struggle. They fight. When they mess up, you almost have to pull them out of stuff because they so hard on themselves. I got a bunch of good saints in this church because y'all care. You want to be obedient. And God bless those people because they're trying. There were two people that came to the church, the synagogue. The scripture says there was the sinner and there was the publican. The publican said, I'm glad I'm not like this sinner, man. And he began to pray these big, deep prayers. And the sinner just came and said, I'm sorry. I'm a mess. I know I'm a mess. I know I ain't no good. Can you help me? And the story goes on to say that's the prayer that God heard. The prayer of the person that says, man, if you don't help me, I'll lose my mind. I'm saved today. I could be drunk tomorrow. God, if you don't help me, I could be somewhere sipping Bahama Mamas. I done forgot my family, done forgot my kids. God, if you don't touch my mind, God says, that's just the person I want to use. If you look at the Bible, he used some of the most messed up folk, but those messed up folk just yielded to God and tried to be obedient. And that's all we are. We're just some folk trying to be obedient. But guess what happens? We will find freedom that way. All right, and this leads us to the next point, which is powerful as well. Number 5, freedom through grace. And this will explain, because I keep saying trying to be obedient. I could say being obedient. But I'm leaving that caveat there because there are some people who feel like if they got it right, it is all on them. One of the worst spirits in the world is not sin, it's actually self-righteousness, or which is a form of pride. In other words, there are people who are obedient, and they feel like their obedience has something to do with them. Shoot, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the mighty burning fire. I've been running for my life ever since God took cigarettes out of my mouth. I didn't want them no more. Oh, hallelujah. And if you prayed like I prayed, if you had the bishop I had, God ain't studying none of that. Because if God don't touch your mind, if God don't touch your hand, if God don't take over your tongue, some people don't understand that what they call salvation, they think they've done it, but it's through the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? That's why I like the songwriter that said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a perfect person like, no, it saved a wretch like me. I once was a lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The reason why I praise him so much, because I was blind. The reason why I praise him so much, because I was lost. And some people, they haven't been lost enough. They grew up in a Christian family. Grew up in a Christian home, went to church all the time, and they ain't never done nothing. They ain't never slept with nobody. And the reason why they never slept with nobody, not because they saved, it's because they was ugly to begin with and had long dresses all the way down to the bottom. Didn't nobody really want you to begin with, so don't be so excited about your virginity because you really wasn't that desirable to begin with. But then there's somebody that everybody wants. And they still make up in their mind, I'm doing the best that I can to walk the straight and narrow. Now, of course, I'm being facetious and funny. Not all virgins who made it to virginity were ugly. That's not the point. But I'm just saying some people are not real honest. Well, Pastor, you know what? I've been good with women. I ain't never chased women. Yeah, but you 750 pounds. They didn't really want you to begin with, brother. Let's just be honest. All right, let's move on. Let's get off of that. Galatians 5, 1 to 4. And I, of course, I'm trying to be funny, but I'm trying to bring home. And it's hard to really, you don't have to go to scripture. Let me, you can come back to me for a second. It's hard to really preach it like I want you. I'm just kind of touching and joking with it. But if you grew up the way I grew up and the way my father turned the church toward grace, you would realize how spiritual we thought we were and how off we were at the same time. Because if you were a woman and you walked in here with pants, I don't care how good of a person you were, they thought you had nothing simply because you had pants on, and it's because they misunderstood a scripture. But they would dog folk out. My father told a story that I don't remember, but he tells a story about later, because back in the day when after church was over, many of the preachers would go over to the pastor's house. And so Bishop Clark was a pastor at the time, and somebody mentioned a lady coming to church. And so I, as a young man, said, yeah, I saw her in here with them pants on. And they said they bust out laughing. But really, it was a poor thing because they had passed down their religiosity to me. It had nothing to do with scripture, but we thought we were spiritual based on what you put on. If you wore makeup, you was a sinner. Of course, we've grown from that. But there are still people that have these mindsets that have nothing to do with the goodness of God. Do you realize that if God gets ready, he'll grab a prostitute and turn her around in 2 seconds? He'll just snatch him. But the problem with church folk, if you don't come the way I came, you don't have it. If you weren't dunked the way I was dunked, you don't have it. If you don't see the scripture the way I see it, you don't have it. And many of us are going to be surprised at the folk when we get to heaven. If we make it, we're going to be surprised at the folk that was there, because the folk that was there is folk you counted out. We find freedom through grace. Now, here's some background here. We'll read now Galatians 5 and 1.
So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law.
Now, the scripture here says there was actually slavery in the law, and the law was good. In 1988, when Bishop Mitchell began to turn us toward grace, this was the scripture that he got free from, because in his mind, he always thought that the bondage was sin, but the bondage is actually the law. Or another way to say it, rules and regulations. In other words, if you're only doing what you're doing because you're afraid the folk in the church are going to talk about you, you're really not free. You're really bound with rules and regulations. And some people, this is what we created. We've created hypocrites, because what they do stuff for the church and the church folk, but behind closed doors, there's something totally different. So we would rather you just be honest and righteous. So let's move on. Next verse.
Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you.
All right, so let's give you some background. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he solidified that covenant with circumcision, which was the cutting of the flesh of the foreskin. And so that was because the other Gentiles did not have that. And so you fast forward to the day of Christ. What happened was Gentiles who were not Jews, they did not have that covenant. They heard the message of Jesus. They heard the message that he died on the cross and rose again, and they were getting saved. Paul was called to the Gentiles. And so Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, these were all places where people got saved. So in the place of Philippi, the place of Galatia, the place of Colossae, these people were getting saved and they were believing in God. But the Jews said, it's not going to work unless you get circumcised too. So they were adding a law. In other words, they were saying, all our life, we had to follow these laws. These folk, are just believing in Jesus, and they get to do whatever they want. This ain't fair. Y'all, if you're going to be saved, you got to do what I do. And Paul said, y'all wrong. Paul said, if you are trying to grab circumcision, because what they were trying to do, they were trying to appease the Jewish Christians. They were trying to make sure they fit in. And so they were doing stuff that other people were saying to do. All right, so how can we fast forward it into our day and age? Well, in our day and age, there's a denomination that believes if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And so you may be sitting there and you may not have the gift of tongues. And in order to make people feel like you got something, you just start, ba 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 ba, C-O-C-A, C-O-L-A, O-C-O-C-A, C-O-L-A. What is he saying? He's saying Coca-Cola, C-O-C-A. C-O-L-A ain't nothing but Coca-Cola, but I done tricked everybody else because I'm trying to appease the people I'm around. That's what's going on. They were trying to appease. And Paul said, no, you don't understand grace. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled all of the law. Now, if you want to do it, you can do it, but it's not tied to your salvation. And then he makes a harsh statement. He says, if you do this to appease them, Christ is of no benefit to you. Let's read on. He goes even deeper.
I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses.
He said, if you're trying to find favor with God. In other words, what happens is you get into works-based Christianity. In other words, you feel like what I do is what makes me saved. No, what he did is what makes you saved. And what you do is a response to what he did. So another example, if I was to give Brother Benny a car, just free and clear, I give him a car. There's nothing he can do to earn it because it was a gift. Now, if he takes care of the car, that's him saying that he appreciates the gift. But if every day he sees me and Sunday he starts giving me a car payment, that nullifies the gift. Because now you're paying for something that was supposed to be free. And so when we teach people the law and rules and regulations, we are making people believe they have to earn their salvation. And how can you earn a gift? All right, let me go real deeper. If you really want to earn your salvation, you're going to have to get on the cross and be crucified for the entire world. Well, guess what? Your blood can't help nothing. Why would you do that when Jesus has already done it? So instead, the problem is we have preached the gospel as do, but the gospel is really supposed to be preached as done. God already done it, and what we do is a response to what he done, but many of us are trying to do, and I said it before, the reason why we keep getting so much do-do is because we keep trying to do what's already been done. So I'm praying so that God will love me. No, God already loves you. You're praying in response to his love. I'm reading the Bible to be a better Christian. Yes, reading the Bible will make you a better Christian, but you're reading the Bible in response because you're trying to connect with your Creator. It's not about dotting I's and crossing T's so other people can say, ooh, that's a great Christian. Have you ever been in a church service when people are praying and they're not praying to God, they're praying to the audience? So everybody thinks that they're so deep. Guide me, O thou, great Jehovah. I want you to come down with your angelic hand and touch the waters like you did when you touched Bethesda and move on this place. It sounds good, but many times it's just a show so that people can think that you're special. No, your prayer can be as simple as Jesus, touch. Jesus, move. Have your way. It's not that the other prayer is wrong, but don't do things for show. Do things for God. It's about God. All right, let's move on. No, let's just go real quick, I'm touched back on the last part, and I'll read to save your voice, Mother. It says, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Okay, so this is what that means. There were several laws. I believe I got the number correct. By the time Jesus comes around, it's up to 613 laws. And so there are simple laws that we see that are good. There are laws like don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill. We understand that kind of stuff. But there are other kind of laws that says don't wear two types of clothing. So when we talk about, the scripture says, make no markings on yourself. The scripture says, make no markings on yourself for the dead. So most people look at that and say, you cannot get a tattoo and be saved. But you don't know that the next verse says, don't make any edges around your heads, your hair. So that means you can't get a line up either. So when you're telling people they're going to hell for their tattoos, you going to hell for all you done to your edges. So we don't go by the law. We go by grace, because the law was there for a reason, for a time. And the reason why it was there and it was said is because there were things that he could not explain to them. So he just said, don't do it. I'll give you another perfect example. When my kids were 2 and 3, my sons were 2 and 3, I told them when they played in the yard, if you run out in the street, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to whoop you if you run out in the street. Okay, daddy, we won't run out in the street. They were too young to understand that a car could hit you. So I had to just tell them, don't do it or I'll punish you. But as they matured, I could tell them, yes, you can go out there as long as you look both ways. At the time that God told them the laws, they were living in camps. And so many of the laws were blood laws. In other words, when you cut on yourself, we know now because of the AIDS epidemic, we know now dirty needles or exchanging blood will cause diseases. They didn't know it then. There was no such disease as AIDS. So what God said, don't do it. In other words, don't cut on yourself for the dead. But really what he's saying, when you cut on yourself because you're in the primitive age that you are and you're living in tents, everybody's going to end up dying. So he just said, don't do it. The problem was later on, people read the law and they were like, you can't be saved if you do this. And people are still tell folk, if you have a tattoo, you can't be saved. Well, your pastor ain't saved because your pastor has a tattoo. Your co-pastor ain't saved because she got a tattoo too. So y'all better find another church because you're misreading the law. That was for that day. The scripture says this. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Which means even though it's a true word, it can be wrongly divided. And many times people have got in the pulpit and preached wrong things. And sometimes they didn't understand. They didn't do it maliciously. But that's why you have to read the Bible for yourself. Because many times people have used the Bible to put people in bondage. And if you don't know the scripture, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Give you an example, and then we'll move on because I've only got one more. There's a scripture in the King James that says, when Rebekah saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, which is old English for getting off the camel. But I can say that's the reason why I smoke camel cigarettes, because the Bible says Rebekah lighted off a camel. You can make the Bible say whatever you want to say if you don't do it right. So we have to go into grace. And at some point, I'm going to try to teach more on grace. I've done it before, but I still don't think we are getting it. So Paul had the same struggle. Let's read some more. I'll read this. It says this, for if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. When people say folk have fallen from grace, what they actually mean is they've sinned. But that's not scriptural. Scripture says you fall from grace when you try to obey the law. When you try to do the do's and don'ts without the empowerment of God. I'm not saying that you won't do what is right, but doing what is right doesn't make you right. That don't sound right, God. Pastor Andre. No, you are made right through the blood of Jesus. So doing what is right is a response to what Jesus has already done. It's you saying thank you for what Jesus has done, but you don't do it to earn it. All right. I could go more, but I think I'm going to stop there. I think I'll throw one more thing out there. I just did a wedding yesterday, and it reminds me of my own wedding. I gave my wife a ring when I proposed to her. But once she got the ring, if she started trying to do a bunch of stuff to make me marry her, but I had already proposed. In other words, what she's already done has already showed me I want her in my life. So I have already proposed to her. So if the moment I propose to her, she goes and loses 50 pounds, something's wrong with that mindset. Because I proposed to you means I liked you the way you was. It means I already loved you. So now if she tries to earn my love, it's going to make me want to back up from her because now you're changing too much. I already proposed. And God is saying, before you ever were born, I sent my son to die for you. And now you're trying to earn what I've already given. So freedom through God's grace. Here's the last one. Six, freedom through faith and love. I put the two together because of what the scripture says. Look at Galatians 5:5-6. We'll close from here. It says this, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. Wait a second. It says it don't say we receive righteousness by doing right things. It says we receive righteousness by faith. In other words, if we believe right, we'll do right. And so really what we need is faith. Look at what the next verse says. And this is the last verse. It says this, for when we place our faith, not in our works, not in our bishop, not in the scriptures we read, not in the fact that we fasted 4 days, but when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. King James says, faith which worketh by love. So why we talk so much about love here at Deliverance Temple is because we get delivered by walking in love. We don't get delivered by doing everything right. But when you walk in love, it's the more you will do things right. Because like I shared with you last week, I will not steal from you if I love you. And so I'm not stealing from you so God can like me. I'm not stealing from you because I love you. And so when faith works through love, what happens, it brings freedom. So here's the thing, and I heard Carlton Pierce say it when he was here. I think he said it in our church service, or he may have said it when I picked him up. He said, you really don't know if you're free from sin until you know you're free to sin. What he meant by that is, you don't know if you're free from something until you can actually do it and get away with it and you still choose not to do it. That's when you know you're free. Some people are free because they're afraid of getting caught. But what if you could do it and get away with it and you still say, I don't want it? Before we get to our confession, I'll close by saying this. I'll close the scripture part. That happened to Joseph. There was no law saying you could not commit adultery. There was no law saying he could not have Potiphar's wife. But when Potiphar enticed him, Joseph ran, even to the point of running out of his cloak. And he said, how can I do this thing to my master? And how can I do this thing to my God? There was no rule that said he couldn't do it. But there was something on the inside of him that said, out of a love relationship, I can't treat God this way, and I can't treat my master this way. And guess what? In those days, you did not get no janky wife. You got a trophy wife. So Potiphar's wife wasn't no ugly woman, and Joseph wasn't no ugly man, but Joseph ran not because of a law. He ran because of relationship and love. And guess what? It brought him to freedom. But guess what it brought him first? It brought him to prison first. So you can do the right thing and get the wrong result. But guess what? He went from the prison to the palace. So if you're going to end up on the palace, sometimes you're going to do the right thing. You're going to say no to sex and stuff still going to go wrong in your life. And God going to make you do it. But then when he turns and flips that corner for you and puts you on the top, everybody going to be wondering how you got there. And you're going to realize, I got there through freedom. But really, it was faith, grace, and love. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close with this confession. Oh, this is good teaching Here's our confession. We're going to say this. I'm going to say it first, and then you're going to say it. Simple. I want to be found unbound. Say it two more times. I want to be found unbound. I want to be found unbound. The Bible says it this way. It says, when the Son of Man returns, means when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Didn't say, will he find perfect Christians? Will he find people not doing the wrong thing? He said, all I'm looking for is faith on the earth. And if you place your faith in Jesus and you keep it there, you're going to be found unbound. Let's bow our heads. And as we finish praying, the prayer warrior is going to come. If you need prayer for anything, come on up and receive prayer. I will not be praying, but our prayer warriors will do it. So, dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Freedom belongs to us, but we've got to find it. These are the places that we find freedom. But God, if we forget all the other places, let us know that if we have faith in you, that will free us. Because faith that works through love is what's going to keep us free for the rest of our days. And the reason why the devil will try to challenge us, because he's trying to take our freedom. But he got here too late. We are free, and we are free indeed, because we're part of the family of God. Now save who needs to be saved. Restore who needs to be restored. Claim the backslidden. Heal the sick. Touch the minds of the brokenhearted. And touch the hearts of the brokenhearted. You can do it. You're able. And let Deliverance Temple be the place where freedom is found. In Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you dearly, kindly. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.